Ramirez woke up late that evening, swathed in bandages, his injured leg in traction, and I was sitting next to his bed when he did. It was a nice switch for me. Usually, I was the one waking up into disorientation, confusion, and pain. I gave him a few minutes to get his bearings before I leaned forward and said, "Hey there, man."
"Harry," he rasped. "Thirsty."
Before he was finished saying it, I picked up a little sports bottle of ice water they'd left next to his bed. I put the straw between his lips and said, "Can you hold it, or should I do it for you?" He managed a small glare, fumbled a hand up, and held onto the bottle weakly. He sipped some of the water, then laid his head back on the pillow.
"Okay," he said. "How bad is it?"
"Alas," I said, "you'll live."
"Where?"
"Hospital," I said. "You're stable. I've called Listens to Wind, and he's going to come pick you up in the morning."
"We win?"
"Bad guys go boom," I said. "The White King is still on his throne. Peace process is going to move ahead."
"Tell me."
So I gave him the battle's last few minutes, except for Lash's role in things.
"Harry Dresden," Ramirez murmured. "The human cannonball." "Bam, zoom, right to the moon."
He smiled a little.
"You get Cowl?"
"Doubt it," I said. "He was right by his gate. When he saw me running for the exit, 10-1 he just stepped back through it and zipped it shut. In fact, I'm pretty sure he did. If there'd been a gate open there, the blast would have been able to spread into it. I don't think we would have been thrown so far."
"How about Vito?"
I shook my head. "Vito was pretty far gone, even before the bombs went off. I'm pretty sure we nailed him, and those ghouls, too."
"Good thing you had that army on standby, huh?"
Ramirez said, a faint edge to his voice.
"Hey," I said, "it's late. I should let you get some rest."
"No," Ramirez said, his voice stronger.
"We need to talk."
I sat there for a minute, bracing myself. Then I said,
"About what?"
"About how tight you are with the vamps," he said. "About you making deals with scumbag mobsters?" I recognized Marcone. "I've seen his picture in the papers." Ramirez shook his head.
"Jesus Christ, Harry.
We're supposed to be on the same team. It's called trust, man." I wanted to spit something hostile and venomous and well-deserved. I toned myself down to saying,
"Gee, a warden doesn't trust me. That's a switch."
Ramirez blinked at me.
"What?"
"Don't worry about it. I'm used to it," I said. I had Morgan sticking his nose into every corner of my existence for my entire adult life. Ramirez stared at me for a second. Then he let out a weak snort and said,
"All hail the drama queen, Harry." He shook his head. "I'm talking about you not trusting me, man."
My increasingly angry retort died unspoken.
What?
Ramirez shook his head wearily.
"Let me make some guesses. One, you don't trust the council. You never have, but lately it's been worse.
Especially since New Mexico. You think that whoever is leaking information to the vampires is pretty high up, and the less anyone in the council knows about what you're doing, the better." I stared at him and said nothing.
Two, there's a new player in the game. Cowl's on the new team. We don't know who they are, but they seem to have a hard-on for screwing over everyone equally. Vampires, mortals, wizards, whoever." He sighed.
"You aren't the only one who's been noticing these things, Harry." I grunted.
"What do you call them?"
"The Black Cats, after our Ringwraith wannabe buddy Cowl."
"You?"
"The Black Council," I said.
"Ooh," Ramirez muttered. "Yours is better."
"Thanks," I said.
"So you can't trust our own people," he said, "but you're cutting deals with the vampires."
He narrowed his eyes. "You think you might be able to find the traitor coming in from the other side?" I put my finger on my nose.
"And the gangster?"
Ramirez asked.
"He's a snake," I said, "but his word is good. And Madrigal and Vito had killed one of his people, and I know he isn't working for Cowell's organization."
"How do you know that?"
"Because Marcone works for Marcone."
Ramirez spread his hands weakly.
Was that so damned hard, Dresden, to talk to me? I settled back in my chair. My shoulders suddenly felt loose and wobbly. I breathed in and out a few times and then said, "No." Ramirez snorted gently. "Idiot." "So," I said, "think I should come clean to the Merlin?" Ramirez opened one eye. "Are you kidding? He hates your guts. He'd have you declared a traitor, locked up, and executed before you got through the first paragraph." He closed his eyes again. "But I'm with you, man, all the way." You don't have much endurance after going through something like Ramirez had. He was asleep before he realized it was about to happen. I sat with him for the rest of the night, until senior council member Listens to Wind arrived with his team of medical types before dawn the next morning. You don't leave an injured friend all alone.